Okay, today I'd like to talk about the topic of be holy, something we know a lot about here at APNTS, I know, but let's think about it today a little bit. In the beginning, think with me about the Genesis story. What was there in the beginning? Did you think nothing? Void? Darkness? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, in the beginning, we have a sovereign God, and this sovereign God was the source of all life, and God was with his creation. God created people, male and female, in the image of God. People were made in the likeness of God. Perhaps we could say they were a mirror to reflect God to all of creation. They had a relationship with God. What does Genesis tell us? God came and did what? Walked in the garden and talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. There was fellowship, not just with one another, but human beings with the sovereign God. Well, one might ask, well, what is that image of God? What were people created to be like? The psalmist wrote, the Lord God is holy. What does it mean to be holy? What is holiness? And I know many of you have profound answers for that question, but this morning I want to propose to us holiness as purity. Absolute goodness, spotless, stainless, wholeness, unadulterated virtue, righteousness, complete integrity, holy. No evil, no wickedness, no imperfection, just purity. One scholar proposes that holiness is like the sun. The sun is intense and it radiates out and reflects itself to all that is near it. We see the sun's light and we feel its warmth here on our earth, 150 million kilometers away. Our moon reflects the sun's brightness and it lights our night. So intense and far-reaching is that sun's radiance and heat. So is God's purity or holiness. It radiates out to all that is near it. And those first human beings were in the image of God. But then, sin. Disobedience of God's purity and love comes and disrupts the image of God in human beings. Human beings no longer perfectly reflected God's purity, God's holiness. And similar to the sun, if anything too close to the sun gets too close to the sun, what happens? It's annihilated, right? It's destroyed. It'll be consumed by the sun. Well, so it is with God's pure holiness. When something impure or unholy comes in contact with God's holiness, that impure thing is destroyed. Not because God's purity or holiness is bad, but because it's so good. It's so perfect. Anything impure cannot stand in the presence of the holy God. There were times in the Bible when an undedicated person reached out and touched the Ark of the Covenant. Remember? That Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence in the midst of his people. What happened to that person? They died. God's holiness was so pure that it had consumed all who came in contact and were not dedicated or devoted to God. Perhaps another story you're thinking of, the story of Moses and the burning bush. God spoke to Moses through that burning bush. "Do not come any closer, Moses." Moses needed to take off his shoes because even the ground where he was standing, near where God's presence was holy, and God's holiness just radiated out, and God had to warn Moses. Later on Mount Sinai, what happened? Moses went up into the presence of God and he received the Ten Commandments. And when he came back to the people, what would they say? "Oh, Moses, cover your face. It's too bright. We can't stand to look at it." God's holiness had radiated out to Moses, and Moses was bearing that presence of God. And the people said, "We can't stand it. It's too pure. It's too holy." God's holiness, God's purity, changed all that was near it to reflect God's own pureness. You know, that's really what the Ten Commandments were all about. You know, how the people needed to live to be morally pure before God, how they could be in relationship with God. We know them, but they're there on the screens here. Would you read them with me? "Do not worship any other gods. Do not make any idols. Do not misuse God's name. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet." In other words, live your life so that you are in fellowship with God, reflecting God to others. Be pure. The story of Isaiah. Isaiah had a vision, and he saw a great seraphim worshiping God, crying out, what? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord all-powerful. His glory fills the whole earth." But what did Isaiah say? "Oh no, I will be destroyed. I am not pure, and I live among people who are not pure. But I have seen the King, the Lord all-powerful." But then what happened? Isaiah didn't die, but God had one of the seraphim to take a coal, remember? And he went to Isaiah, and he touched Isaiah's lips with that coal. And he said, "Your sin is taken away." That's a yay, right? His sin was taken away. He did not die. God's holiness was so pure, and he made Isaiah pure now so that Isaiah could represent and speak God's words to the people. God's holiness transformed Isaiah. And now Isaiah could do what God wanted to be done. Now Isaiah could go out and share with the people, tell the people what God wanted them to hear. Isaiah was made pure by God's perfect holiness. What happened then? God asked, "Whom can I send?" And Isaiah responded, "Here I am, here I am, send me," you know, here I am. Isaiah could now go. Isaiah was made pure by the holiness of God. Normally, if you touch something impure or dirty, what happens? You know, you get dirty, right? You get impure. God's people worked very hard to get pure and to try to stay pure so that they could worship God in the right way. And often today, I hear people saying, I try to obey God, but I have many sins. It's impossible to live pure or holy like God wants us to be. But what was happening here was God was saying something different. Isaiah couldn't get pure or holy enough by himself. God had to make him clean. Instead of becoming pure first and going into God's presence, or going to meet the holy, totally pure God, what God was saying was, my holiness is flowing out, and it makes you clean and pure and holy. And so now you are able to represent me to the people, to give God's words to the people. No, we can never be pure enough or good enough to match God's purity or holiness. But God's holiness makes us pure. I tell my students sometimes, that's a double yay. Yay, yay, right? Okay? God's holiness flows to us to make us pure. Well, how does he do that? Enter Jesus. Paul wrote to the believers in Colossae and he said, read it with me. No one can see God, but Jesus Christ is exactly like him. Well, this reading, this version explains what he is the image of the invisible God means, I think. God is invisible to us, so we can't see him, but Jesus came to show us who God is. This holy, pure God. Jesus is exactly like him. Well, think about it. What did Jesus do when he was on earth? Now, maybe you jump to the end. And that's really, really important. But let's think again about what Jesus did before he died for our sins. What did Jesus do? The Gospel of John tells us several things about Jesus. It says that Jesus did God's work, and Jesus spoke God's words, and Jesus showed the people who God is. In John chapter 12, verses 44 and 45, it says, whoever believes in me is really believing in the one who sent me. Whoever sees me, Jesus said, whoever sees me sees the one who sent me, sees the Father God, okay? Also, later on in that same chapter, says, Jesus said, the things I taught were not from myself. The Father who sent me told me what to say and what to teach. Jesus' words were the words of God, and that's what Jesus was saying. Earlier in John, John wrote, the Son does only what he sees the Father doing because, what is it there? Can you read it with me? The Son does whatever the Father does. Wow. Jesus is exactly like God. He said God's words. He did God's actions. He showed the people who God was. Jesus touched many people who were sick with all kinds of diseases and made them whole again. One man had a severe skin disease that everyone was afraid of, and he came to Jesus and he said, Lord Jesus, you can heal me if you will. And Jesus said, I will be healed. And he touched him. The impure, the unclean, Jesus touched the man. Jesus even touched dead people and brought them back to life again. The Jews were supposed to stay away from dead people, but Jesus brought them back to life again. Let's stop a minute. Turn to the person sitting next to you and tell them one miracle that Jesus did. And then the other person gets to share back. All right, go. Sounds like you're remembering lots of them, right? Okay. Well, you know, we often get focused on the miracles, the healings that Jesus did. You know, today sometimes we get focused on ministry of healing, and that's important and that's great. But the greatest thing was that Jesus took away their impurities. Jesus made them whole again. Jesus was radiating God's purity or holiness or wholeness to make the people who were suffering whole again. Jesus was allowing God's purity to flow to the people and make them pure, make them whole, make them restored in relationships with God and other people. That's another yay, right? Jesus was showing us what God wanted to do for us. God wants to make all sinful people restored in relationships with God and with others. God wants to make us pure, make us holy. Continuing on in the letter to the believers in Colossae, Paul wrote again about us being friends with God. He says, but now God has made you his friends again. God reconciled us with himself. Reconciliation restores relationships. God restored us to relationship with himself. He made us friends with the sovereign God. Well, how did he do this? He did this through Jesus' death in the body. Well, why did he do it? So that he might bring you into God's presence as people who, what? Are holy with no wrong and with nothing of which God can judge you guilty. Yay! All right? So that we can come before God as people who are what? Holy, with no wrong. Whoa! With nothing that God can judge us guilty. Our sin is gone. We are cleansed. We are made pure by God. Yay! We are made pure. Not because of how good we are, but why? Because of what God does in us. God transforms us. Well, Paul continued to write to the believers there, and he said, this will happen if you continue strong and sure in your faith. You must not be moved away from the hope brought to you by the good news of Jesus that you heard. We simply have to depend upon Jesus. Continuously stay close to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the image of the invisible God, the NIV says. He is exactly like God, this holy, pure God. Trust in Jesus. Let's watch a video now of a story of about a man who was transformed by Jesus.
It's always been a dream of mine to play in the NFL. It's probably the greatest platform that a person can have. When I first got in the NFL, I was selfish. I wanted things my way, when I wanted it, how I wanted it. It was just a time where I felt like I had accomplished what I set out to do. Everything that I had went through as a kid, all the hardships, all of that, you know, I felt like at that time, it had paid off. You know, I was in the NFL, achieved my dream, scoring touchdowns. So yeah, I was on top of the world. I think when I had my son, for me, it brought about a new perspective on life. I realized that everything I did affected him in one way or another, whether it be good or bad. There was things that I went through in my life that I never wanted my son to go through. And I just realized, man, there was things that I was doing that I just couldn't do no more. I wasn't living for just Anquan anymore. So I became a little more serious about my relationship with my now wife. She saw in me what at times I couldn't see. And she used to always tell me, I see the man that God wants you to be. I see the man that you can be. And whenever you have somebody challenging you like that, you have to take a look at yourself. I want to be able to worship in every aspect of my life. I want to be obedient in every part of my life, in my marriage, in my job, in my finances. I mean, there's times where God is asking us to step outside of our comfort zone and go to Africa. There's other times where God is asking me to step out of my comfort zone and do an interview or speak before a crowd about my life. The more that I fell in love with Jesus, the more I looked for opportunities to serve people. Like, what I do is not for an award. I don't help people to be recognized. Like, if I can do it all behind closed doors, I would. But we do it for a greater reward. Like, the Bible tells us to store up our treasures in heaven. So how do we do that? By doing the will of God here on earth. Until you really seek God, you won't really know him. And sometimes the only time that people will get to know who God is by watching our lives.
A little further on, Paul goes on to tell what he's doing and why. And he says, we proclaim him, Christ, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone, what? Perfect in Christ. By the way, the Greek has three everyone's there. Check it out, okay? Everyone. Like Isaiah, we can now go and deliver the message of transformation to the people. That is our calling. Present everyone perfect in Christ. Paul continues on the next verse. This is one of my favorite verses. To do this, I work and struggle using Christ's great strength that works so powerfully in me. The words that Paul is writing for strength and works are the words we use in English today for energy. And the word for powerfully is the root word for the English word, anyone guess? Dynamite. So, Paul is saying here, in order to bring everyone into God's presence as a perfect person in Christ Jesus, I work and struggle using Christ's great energy that energizes me with dynamite power. All right? Hatch your paraphrase, okay? You know, I love in that video clip where Mr. Bolden talks about the more I fell in love with Jesus. You know, falling in love with Jesus, being so close to Jesus that God's holiness is radiating out from Jesus, that it's cleansing me. It's making me pure. It's making me holy. Falling in love with Jesus, living so close to him. Paul wrote also to the Romans, the believers in Rome, do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be transformed by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. Letting God make you pure, receiving God's purity to transform my life. Depending on Jesus for God's goodness, God's perfection, God's holiness, falling in love with Jesus, through whom we come into God's presence and are made holy. Working with all God's energy that powerfully works in us to speak God's words to the people, to do God's work in our world, to show people who God is through our lives that reflect Him. First, we must be transformed. I must be transformed. Have you been transformed by the purity of God? Are you living so close to Jesus, falling in love with Jesus day after day, that He is transforming you, that He is making you pure with God's purity, God's holiness? Then this week, with whom might you share God's message of transformation? We are made pure, like Isaiah, to be able to take God's words to the people. This week, whom could you share the message of transformation with? Who needs God's purity in your life that you know? Be holy. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you with humbleness because we know that you are a holy and pure God. We bow before you as Isaiah did. And we say, here we are. Transform us, cleanse us, make us holy, make us pure, to be able to represent you, to be able to show our world who you are and what you want to do in their lives. Help us to have your purity, to speak your words to the people in our lives this week. We pray this, that you will just move upon us in all ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.